Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sandspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, party people. It's your girl, Brie Larson, here. And when I'm not eating pizza, pretending to play Animal Crossing, making the worst movies of all time, or eating pizza, you better believe my ass is sitting down and listening to a brand new episode of Hey Fam.
Fucking three things I know on this bitch of an earth. Mm-hmm. PS5 big, mm-hmm. McRib deluxe, mm-hmm. is back for the first time in Australia.
Yeah.
I had one today.
Yesterday. You had the deluxe.
I'm going to turn your microphone down.
Oh, well, sorry.
Fucking mic down.
I don't know, man. When you speak about McRibs, you know the decibels do be shifting.
Mic hungry.
Oh, that's right. Last week we spoke about Twin Mix and discovered my aunt has a new name. Hear that and more,
Patreon.
Join up to our Patreon.
More about that much later. It's been...
But you said PS5, McRib, and what else?
And a third thing. This has been a wild week. We've got an entire episode to figure out what the third thing is that I know on this bitch of an earth.
What's it normally say?
It says two things. Oh, no, you're listening to Hey Fam.
Oh, okay.
You know what? That's the third thing. We figured it out. You're listening
it's
to
perfect.
Hey Fam. My name's Levins. His name's Angus.
We're getting crazy intros.
This might be someone's first episode. They might be like, wow, these guys are...
You know what? I hope it is.
I want to hear these two Australian white guys talking about The Boy and the Heron.
Talk about Game Awards by Jeff Keighley.
I've consumed more movies than I have in all... Do you want to hear here's all the shit that I've consumed after, like, you know, the last, like...
Last month has been me trying to
squeeze in a morsel of entertainment before each episode of Hey Fam, or just canceling Hey Fam altogether just because of how much work I've had. In the last week, I've seen four movies at the movies, at the motherfucking pictures.
Yeah, the flicks.
I've seen Beyonce's Renaissance.
Yes.
I have seen Napoleon.
Yes.
The French Renaissance.
Speaking of Renaissance, the man behind it.
And I saw...
The Beyonce of France, you would say.
That's true. I saw motherfucking Wonka.
Yeah, we saw that.
You and me got wonked up.
Yeah, we got wonked. we wonked out.
And then I also saw motherfucking Boy and the Heron.
Yeah.
What a great week to watch good movies in air-conditioned rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were in the middle of a fucking heat wave. In Sydney.
It's a very Angus style week, isn't it?
Here's also the things that we need that are important.
Game Awards.
I ate that McRib. That is very unimportant.
No, but you know what? Like, this is a podcast we're going to devote to the return of a master of the genre.
That is true.
A man who hasn't been here for a long time. And
that is Donald Trump announcing his new digital...
it's the Jeff Keighley, I swear I have friends variety show.
Donald Trump, that's right, everyone. He's back. He came to the
that's
Game
the
Awards.
Third thing.
He announced his digital trading cards. No, but I had
love that he's the only man that can still like run the gamut on NFTs.
I did the maths.
Yeah,
$100 a piece. If you buy all 47, which is such a weird number, is it like how many states?
No, he was the 45th president. I'm trying to think what 47 is. Yeah,
is it like
you know what?
How
it's
many
because
states
he thinks he's
going to
be. No, he's going to be the 47th president.
Oh my god, that's so it.
Because
that rules.
Biden's
that's so
40,
funny.
Biden's 46. So, he's like, of course I'm going to be 47.
If you haven't seen it, go on his fucking Instagram. It is so funny. It's like.
Would you say? I don't know if it's as good as the first one, which just had that Tim and Eric delivery where he's like. You can have dinner with me forever. Remember, like, the delivery of that first one was just like...
He's pretty good on this one. He's talking about, like, the shitty photoshopped... Yeah, it's called the mugshot edition.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like, I wish I looked as good as I did in these digital trading cards. They add
whoever's
muscles
writing,
where I had no idea you could get muscles. He's like...
Whoever's writing his gear, which I like to still think is him, but it's good stuff.
If you buy all 47 of his digital trading cards, you get a physical trading card sent to you that includes a small part of the suit he was wearing when he had his mugshot taken.
Dude.
And if you buy two sets of 47 digital trading cards, you get a second trading card which has a piece of the tie.
I just love the fact, like, you know there's going to... The man wears big suits. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to get a piece, tiny bit.
And you also get invited if you buy all of them. I mean, like, that is crazy to me. $4,700 US.
Not that much, comparatively.
Gets you...
Dinner with Donald Trump.
Dinner, exactly. You get to go to Mar-a-Lago and have dinner with Donald Trump.
I mean... From, even if you don't agree with him on every level.
But like, especially if you don't agree with him, I feel like if I was a world leader, an editor at the Guardian, I'd be like, hey, guess what?
Yep.
Like
our budget this
guess
month
what?
Is going
intern
to
with a mohawk
47.
Guess where you're going, chief?
No, dude, if this was Vice 8 years ago, it's like I took acid and went to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, exactly. Back when we were a real country.
Yeah. Back when Vice would do like, I remember they did like, I took acid and went to R. Kelly's Vegas residency and was the youngest person by 30 years. Like, remember those ones? Damn. It was a different time.
Been thinking a lot about R. Kelly lately. My favorite rap channels did a ranking of all of his albums like last week.
That's
and,
wild
like, gave a disclaimer being like, look, you don't have to watch it if this offends you, but I have been thinking about this my entire life and I need to turn it into a video.
That's awesome. Like, it's just like man, I'm going to suffer for my art just because I can't stop thinking about R. Kelly album ranks.
So yeah, look, Kojima is back. He's got a new game that was announced at the Game Awards.
Jeff Keighley's Taylor is back. He's not back.
Donald Trump is back with his digital trading cards and fucking Kanye is back.
Kanye West is back.
With another album.
A joint record.
Would you believe he can rap even worse now?
He somehow.
But the production is like the best it's ever been.
Somehow
and
he's
the ideas and the songs are amazing. But God, he sucks so.
Once
hard
again, he
on
is
the
architect of his fall.
One of the lyrics is like this amazing song that like interprets "Backstreet's Back" by Backstreet Boys.
Ty Dolla $ign and Charlie Wilson doing some really good reinterpretation.
Boy bands. Like harmonies.
Yep.
Kanye's verse. One of the lines is like,
"You're the king."
Burger King.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff, dude. But it's man, insane. Like to have like everyone on stage and just listening to one of the shittest verses,
and everyone just standing there saying nothing.
It's like you can never have a full win as a Kanye fan or a member who is
not. It's monkey paw.
Yeah,
it's been monkey paw since 2016.
Wild as shit.
Like, even before then, you're like, well, at least, like, Dark Fantasy is amazing. Or at least 808s is... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd be like... And even back then, the height of the controversy was him saying Beyonce had a better music video than Taylor Swift.
I know.
Which
totally.
Now you're like... Yeah, that's.
But it's not about the message. It's all about the delivery. And I think we saw this man who like you're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, that like was, I want yeah. the I. You know, I've said it before. I would love to see him at this stage of his career, just like producing,
exactly.
instrumentals, like doing his Andre 3000 flute record.
Yeah,
his version of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just it's sad. We actually had a member of the fam there. He was sending me videos from it. And he's like, it was so good in Miami. And I was like, man, it was a disaster. Like, as a fan, it just looked like a disaster.
Really?
For me, I was just like guys standing on stage while people played songs.
Was it part of Art Basel?
That was no, I don't think so.
Separate.
Yeah, and the album's like out tomorrow. It's not a Kanye album. It's like a collab album.
One of my friends made one of the beats.
One of the great beats.
Wax Motif, Denny. He's like a Sydney DJ.
It's insane.
Been living in LA for the last 6 years. That's fucking awesome.
That's going to be so big.
Freddie Gibbs is on that
Freddie
song?
Gibbs verse is crazy good.
I mean, like, because he's actually
Freddie
rapping.
Gibbs and rapping.
He's saying
yeah.
more than four words
two
in
the
10
pink,
seconds.
One in the stink.
Dude, I cannot believe that is...
Insane. And I just felt so embarrassed.
I'm glad that this is like the most...
Oh, it's just like, you know, I thought Donda was like a really... For him, I was like, that's a great last album. If that's his album, Full Circle, 10 albums. Felt very final, black cover, named after his mother, like the ultimate tribute. Very beautiful songs there about family, losing people, losing your immediate family, losing a mother. I was like, this is such a nice, mature album for this artist at this stage in his career, like mid-40s. And then I'm just like, this doesn't feel like the music that someone in that position should be making right now. It just feels for like very much for the first time, 100% like just clout chasing, wanting to be like, hey, I'm like the young guys I'm standing with. You know what I mean?
Sure.
When Kanye was never a part of that. He was the pink polo backpack funny guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I was just like, I'm not into this at all. This is not. And of course, the copium I'm telling myself is, well, it's just a collab album. It's not part of the canon.
He'll remember how to rap again by the time he does his own record.
Yeah, certainly not. This is the first project he's done without like Mike Dean. All these collaborators who have like just essentially left him.
Yeah, right.
So you know, you gotta.
Ty sounds good.
Ty sounds great. Like horniest guy in music.
Yeah, horniest woman hater in music.
Yeah, it's so crazy that you can be that horny and hate women.
I wish. Oh yeah, I wish he could tell me. The best thing about the
song
more.
That Max with Wax Motif produces is that it samples one of the tenets of Hey Fam.
Liver King.
No, Kevin Smith's Dogma.
Oh, of course. Yeah, wild.
It actually has like a J sample of him saying "big, beautiful, titted, big booty women just don't fall out of the sky," you know, and that's like the hook of the song. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
If you could, yeah, tell Hey Fam in 2016 that we're gonna get a Kevin Smith line sampled and looped as the like hook on a Kanye West song.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
How are you temperature wise? You want the aircon on?
It's hot as shit, but it's fine. It's been hot as shit.
Are you sure though? Is it gonna be too loud? I'm happy to put it on.
Let's save the noise for PayFam. Let's make it a Patreon episode. Yeah, let's see if we can last.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
How you been keeping cool? What have you been
without aircon? I've kept the door shut, the window shut, and just I put that shit on to 16 and just sit
I'm
here
loving
freezing.
Being in my car. Drive anywhere.
Driving and blasting cinemas. Yeah, I saw Boy and Heron again on the weekend.
Yep.
Saw The Abyss last night. I'm just saying Frosty, brother. They were goofy at The Abyss. The movie started like half an hour late. They just like kept having black after every single ad before the movie.
Why?
I don't know. And then we had to say like, hey, the movie's hasn't started. And then it's like a 3-hour James Cameron movie. So it didn't get like home till like after midnight.
That's what The Abyss is.
Yeah, yeah.
So you both of us had 4 hours sleep last night.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Angus is on the downbeat, you know, a pretty normal reaction to being tired. Me, wired.
Yeah,
manic. I mean, woke up this morning after, like, I didn't even, I set an alarm for 7 a.m.
Yeah.
After, like, eventually falling asleep at 1. And woke up at 5 and was like, fuck it, I'm going to go to the gym.
Well,
the fucking other tenant, Marky Mark himself, took over my spirit.
He would have been, he did. He was, what he's doing is reducing us to his sleep hours.
I'm going to have to give up the dream on giving you a bottle of Mark Wahlberg's tequila for Christmas.
I don't think I wanted it, yeah.
Okay, really?
No, I mean,
you and me kicking back with a bottle of Flesher Azul next
that just
next,
sound,
next
that,
Wednesday.
You know what, you and I, we can save that for something else.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess maybe when we go
to Mark,
to
when Mark invites
Mark
us. Yeah, when Mark invites us to, before he sues us for selling his likeness on merchandise.
Yep.
Which you can buy right now on heyfamboys.shopify.com.
That's so good that that's our web address.
Hey Fam Boys. Is that it? It's Hey Fam Boys, isn't it?
I think, is that our Instagram as well? I got to do a post about the shirts on there. Fuck, I've been...
Well, we haven't even done so real marketing yet.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. We've like sold half of the stock.
That's sick.
I posted like 40 the other day. It's Hey Fam Boys with the Ted banner.
That's right.
We've sold.
Excellent.
Mark Wahlberg
already working for
one of the tenets of this show, Marky Mark. It would be funny. Remember, like in Scott Pilgrim, how there's Nega Scott.
Yes.
There's like Darky Mark, and he's like he's like the dark version who like isn't Catholic.
Yeah,
sure. And doesn't pray. Doesn't go to the gym. Sleeps in. Hasn't blinded a Vietnamese man. Like, and you know, all of those things sound really good.
He had a
but
song
he's still
in the
80s
called Bad Vibrations.
Yeah, he's the, but for some reason he's still the evil one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't star Calvin Klein ad saying it protects him from AIDS. Thinks, you know, 9/11 would have probably happened if I was on that plane.
Yeah. It's
like, probably still would have gone
it
down
would have
that
gone
way.
Down like that.
Probably still would have gone down.
Hey, one thing that I finished finally, I made it through all 10 episodes of Morning Show / Morning Wars.
Oh, thank God.
Season 3. Insane show. Just like,
I mean, it started insane this season with the space shuttle stuff. Did it get crazier?
It just kept adding layers and layers of half-baked ideas.
Do you think there's just like a dartboard in the writer's room or like the manatees from South Park?
If you ever watch it, Greta Lee from Past Lives and Billy Crudup play like the executives.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a show that just focused mm-hmm. on them running a network,
good stuff.
It would be fucking awesome. But
Sorkin shit.
Instead, it like is still about Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. Sorry, Bradley Jackson.
Bradley Jackson, whose brother was at Jan 6, right?
Dude. So, so Bradley Jackson, Reese Witherspoon's character, her brother attends the Jan 6 it's not a rally. What do you call it? A rally? What do you call it?
It was an insurrection.
Insurrection.
Yeah, yeah.
And she does too, but she's there to cover it for press, which, you know, oldest trick in the book, am I right?
Classic, yeah.
But she films him basically trying to beat the shit out of a cop. and she submits most of her videos.
She changes that.
But edits that out.
Now, do they show up together or separately?
Separately.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, like that. Like, what are you doing here kind of shit?
I'm a reporter.
Anyway.
You said she doesn't have a southern accent anymore, does she?
No. They give it up after like three episodes.
Real Wonder Hours.
Yeah. Real, Wonder. But they
Vision, I love you. And then she's like, Vish, I love you.
I mean, she's a witch.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that, man.
I've watched WandaVision, for better or for worse.
Did you know that it was Agatha all along?
Still don't understand it.
I'm
lobotomized with MCU TV shows. I just don't understand them.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's funny. Like, they're so not complex, but I'm like, I don't understand this.
But
I think everyone finds Loki confusing.
There was a big leak at the station, and basically, like, a lot of people get access to all of the files and emails, and basically turns out the end of the series that it ruins Bradley Jackson's relationship, the gay relationship that she's in with another straight actor playing a lesbian character.
Was she gay at the start of the show?
No, they just decided, like, let's give her a gay arc.
That's sick. The show's crazy.
And anyway, at the end of the season three, she decides she quits the station. Like, live on air. Doesn't say why. She just says, for personal reasons, I quit, effective immediately. And then ends up, like, reconnecting with Jennifer Aniston's character, who, Alex is her name. But they've had maybe three scenes together in the entirety series? Of the series of this season.
That's fucking crazy.
So insane. Like, the two biggest stars have been, like, in an elevator in, like, the second episode.
It's like Heat. And then they're not, like, in one scene with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro together.
Totally right. Yeah. But it's a pretty long scene.
Yeah, there's two. There's the coffee shop and then the shootout at the end. But yeah.
But the funny if it was set to the same Moby song.
Don't they
show.
Work at the same place?
Yeah. I mean, they just keep introducing characters.
Are they like two? Is one of them filming it always? And so, like, one's actually behind the camera they can't be in, like, the shot?
So, the first season's all about Me Too. Second season's all about COVID.
And what's this one? Elon Musk.
This one's about, Jan 6, but also it's going to be about Black Lives Matter.
Oh, that seems like that could have been, like, in the COVID season when that was, like...
No, because it's only the first, like, 2 months of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
It ends as the lockdowns are happening in America.
And it just skips everything.
Then it just jumps to, like, Jan 6 and then jumps to Black Lives Matter. and then it also deals with the Roe v. Wade thing getting overturned. But anyway, the end of the season.
They literally just go to, like an advent calendar of the year that was, don't they? They, like, open up a day, a month, and they're like, oh, this was Roe v. Wade.
And we should put an Elon Musk character.
Yeah, Elon brought
Twitter
around this point.
But they, Jennifer Aniston is walking Reese Witherspoon's character to the FBI office to go and, like, testify. And the last thing she says before she goes in is, you got this.
That's awesome.
And then it ends with her
fades
going
to black.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're like, well, I'm back in for season four. What do you think the opening scene is going to be?
They greenlit us the fourth season before.
Opening scene, Reese Witherspoon in, like,
I reckon,
like, orange.
I reckon Israel versus Palestine.
Oh yeah,
let's go season
but
four.
Like, just one episode.
It's like, yeah, like Bradley Jackson is going to go cover a music festival in Israel.
Has there ever been any, like, Jewish behavior?
There's no Jewish characters, so they can definitely add a few of those.
Yeah,
and that won't. What about behind
the camera though?
Either.
You know, this one's a bit of a murky topic that the entertainment industry ain't so hot to talk about.
What do you mean?
Well, like the whole Palestine Israel thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I know that this is definitely the show that will deal with it the most heavy-handed way possible.
Yeah, and not in the way that it probably should, but in a way that definitely serves the characters of the show, right?
Yeah,
maybe
for
someone
sure.
will just maybe like it'll start with like Billy Crudup wearing like a yarmulke, and they find out that he's Jewish. He's just found out he's Jewish. And
yeah, sure.
Has a very pro-Israel stance that he's enforcing onto the network and. Maybe there's a Palestinian person
and
in the office.
Like, he's cease like, fire, see your fire.
Yeah. Wham. Get us in the writer's room.
Yeah.
It'd be great because you obviously have the knowledge of the show, and I think it's also funny that I haven't.
Well, then the writers certainly don't.
Yeah, you have more. Yeah, you. I remember reading that George R.R. Martin, like, the guy that writes the Game of Thrones books, he forgets what happens. Like, and he'll like hit up these people who like, I think like ran the original wiki for it. And like, hey, where are these people at this time? And they're like, they are here then, blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, that can be you with Morning Wars. You're like, no. Jennifer Aniston was in space then. There's no way she could have got that text. Like
more, no show besides, I can't think of any other show that constantly has me thinking, how the fuck did this get written, like, you know, filmed, like, you know, edited?
The process.
Like, at no point someone's like, hey, this is insane that this exists.
Because the way you describe it to me, it sounds like a comedy, and it's certainly not a comedy, is it?
No. Yeah. It is a soap opera.
Yeah,
it is cool. a really twisted. I mean,
maybe that's the best thing about it, isn't it? Yeah, it's just like a big budget with Hollywood A-lister names,
like A-list
soap opera. Yeah, not just like people who have been relegated to TV. Like, these are A-listers.
Yeah, unfortunately, no one died suddenly in the final.
Steve Carell didn't. It still takes the cake for best death.
I still think the most crazy thing I've ever seen in television is an entire season set during COVID. With the intention of killing off the Me Too character, and they decide not to kill him off with COVID. Instead,
he just drives
off the road.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's kind of crazy. I think
it's like, I don't know, like, was it like looking the gift horse in the, I don't know, what, like, as in like not seeing the very, very obvious thing in front of them and being
I think that's good though. It's like, you know, it's too obvious to have Chekhov's COVID kill off Steve Carell.
Yeah, sure.
Have him drive off. Was it with purpose or an accident?
A little bit of both. He was sleepy.
So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's too obvious that it's COVID.
Totally.
Yeah.
Imagine if that was Miyazaki's actual like last movie. He's like, I'm going to do the anime version of Morning Show. Morning.
Yeah. It'd keep the title, but that's not, you know, maybe the character in the show watches. In the film, watches Morning Wars. His mother left it for him.
Yeah.
You should watch this.
So obviously we're going to get to Boy and the Heron eventually.
Let's talk about something else from Japan though.
Yep.
The
Hideo Kojima.
The long-awaited Microsoft project that Kojima Productions.
The reason we've been keeping Game Pass.
The reason that Series X sits right there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I actually played my Xbox today. I played that game Cocoon.
Which is
made by the guys who made Limbo and Inside.
Yeah, cool, I downloaded the Mad Max game.
Oh man, that's a
not
good
on Game Pass, but on the Xbox Game Store. It's because I, as I told you, I watched Fury Road twice on the weekend.
That's so fucking wild.
In one day, just and saw Wonka in between. I watched Fury Road Sunday morning.
You had a Wonka.
I got up at 8 and was like, I'm gonna watch Fury Road. And then after Wonka, came home that night and was like, fuck, I really like that movie. I love it so much. I'm going to watch it again. But,
run me through all the movies you watched in the last week. So, The Abyss last night.
Hang on.
Mad Max Times 2. Wonka.
Son of me.
What did you have for dinner tonight?
Franco.
Man, the Portuguese chicken man.
Oh, yeah, brother. It was so good.
Did you get the chips? I know you don't like those chips.
I got the chips, brother.
At least you didn't like them when they were out tonight.
I didn't, but I had a deal where it was like the combo box. All right. I saw Dix. Did I tell you that?
Yep.
Oh yeah, I interviewed the Dix guys actually. Okay, so I saw Boy and the Heron again, Mad Max Fury Road twice, Wonka, and The Abyss.
Cool. Right, I'm not too far behind you in the numbers game this week.
Yeah, I was supposed to see The Iron Claw on Monday, but it was actually like a daytime session and I couldn't make it.
I should have gone.
Yeah, I should have given it to you.
And that number's going to drop right off because school holidays start in like 2 days.
Damn.
Although I am seeing Migration this Sunday.
Oh yeah, I got invited to that.
My kid's first IMAX movie.
Well, I've also been invited
for the new Illumination movie about with Kamail and Awkwafina playing different birds.
Well, speaking of our favorite actors and people in films and in Marvel films. I've been invited for the premiere of the Taika Waititi soccer film this Sunday,
which is apparently not as bad as people were saying it was earlier this year.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. It's at the Orpheum. It's like a cast and crew Q&A as well.
I love that that every week Awkwafina gets a call from a casting director that's like, hey,
do you want to be an annoying fucking bird?
This fucking dipshit animal bird dragon.
Do you want to be a dumb fuck bird that says like,
oh, hey,
speaks
girl.
In like black ebonics?
Yeah, with a black scent, yeah.
If you use ebonics and be like in a dumb fucking CG character.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Keep forgetting she's in the Marvel Universe, too.
Yeah, man.
Her she's like Shang-Chi's Simu best
Lee,
friend.
Simu Liu.
Well, look, we got to go best. I watched a bunch of the Game Awards because I was working from home that day, and it's so funny.
I used to be a guy who cared about the Game Awards.
I wasn't going to watch it, but then I just like saw 5 seconds of it and was like, oh, this is demented. Like, it exists in a vacuum.
It exists
in a vacuum. That's it. I was going to say where.
I feel like...
If Twitter was the number one source of like all of your news and entertainment because people were just walking out. It was like those weird... If you know like Mr. Beast's homies that appear in every video, this is like...
I had a really, really great moment last week though. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Tilly goes... Why are there so many Mr. Beasts, Dad? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, there's the one who has chocolate. And then there's the one that just like falls over all the time and has like a funny face. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, he like does lots of funny things and it's like, and he's weird. And I was like, who are you talking about? And then Archie goes, no, that's Mr. Bean.
Damn, did she get a shock when he popped up in Wonka?
But yeah, sorry.
The Game Awards exists in this like fucked vacuum where like, unfortunately, I knew most of the people on stage giving awards and like the very like Timothy Chalamet gave an award. You're just like, what clout does Jeff Keighley have?
It's so wild.
He had some guy that was like, I've been watching the Game Awards since I was young. He was like 35, and I'm like, isn't this the 8th year? It's like, people have got these false narratives. They've like implanted memories into us.
Jeff Keighley's like, the king of
the Game Awards have like existed since dawn of man.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like, this guy who like was a game developer, and he's like, I've been watching this. It was like an African guy because he's like African American guy, I think, or maybe he's like, it's very like Africa Futuro Afroism. Afrofuturism game, 2D platform. It looked cool as hell, actually. Ridley Scott's production company helped make it. Scott Free, it said, with help from like Scott Free Productions. But he's like...
The Napoleon game.
Yeah, he's just like, I've been watching the Game Awards since I was young. And like during the awards, they're just like, and next year's the 10th Game Awards. I'm like, this guy's like 39. I was like 24 when I was, I guess like when I was 32, I was younger than I am now. It's just like, I just lost it.
I feel like
Jeff Keighley's like has no riz. And then I was like, how's he going to get out of being the most rizless guy there? And then Simu Liu was one of the award presenters. And I'm like, oh, that's how you get Simu Liu.
For the second year in a row, everyone hated him last year and they invited
it's
him back.
It's insane. Like, I was blown. I don't know who runs this. They have like a huge, like I guess it's pretty easy to get like a hall, but it's like, it doesn't look like it's a pretty grand looking place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like, you'd put on the same level as like Golden Globes. Like, it looks better than the BAFTAs.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite Oscars. But it's just like, what is going on here? You're just like...
I feel like we have a lot of listeners from outside of Australia who will occasionally hear us talk about, hey, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
And wonder who the fuck Daryl Summers is.
Jeff Keighley is Daryl Summers. Yeah, yeah. 100%. 100%. And he's just like, it's that Drake tweet. It's Blood thinks he's on the team. Like,
yeah, yeah. I don't know what he ever did in the game space.
I don't,
and no one does.
He obviously found
it's a great
like,
mystery of time.
Yeah, he obviously found like Shigeru Miyamoto, Hideo Kojima, and like, I don't know, what's a fucking Microsoft guy? Like the guy that made Halo in a room together.
John Halo.
Trafficking like kids, like with Jeffrey Epstein. He's like, I'm going to tell everyone you guys did it. I get to hang out with you. And annoy you heaps.
Yeah, well, once a year, I get to introduce you to a stage as my friend.
Yeah, I'm legally binding and allowed to call you my friend.
Yeah.
I was obviously like not paying attention to it and like had it muted most of the time. It's literally a Nintendo Direct, except like funnier. Like, it's as if like the guy that says the, wow, I can't wait to... Cute cats in the snow.
Yeah.
Like it's if that guy wore a suit and like stood on stage, like, because it's just ads. There's no awards. It's amazing. Now we found out today E3 has been cancelled, and Jeff Keighley's somewhere rubbing together, you know, his little his paws, his dual shock holding.
I mean, say what you will about E3 over the years.
There was no Jeff Keighley.
You the host, the people who organized E3 never hosted it themselves.
No, they knew that like they weren't the main character.
So I don't understand why Jeff Keighley hosts his own Game Awards show.
It's insane. It's so it's weird. Like, yeah, I love it. I'm sure there's an
It'd
answer.
Be like if like every week you tune into Saturday Night Live and the guest host is Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, it's like, dude, we get it. Yeah. Like, this isn't you. I'm trying to think of some other funny bits I'm sure will come. Timothy Chalamet just looking like he did not want to be there.
Did they reference his like past of like reviewing Xbox or modifying Xbox controllers?
He was introduced as Jeff Keighley's like, and here we have now like one of the most famous original streamers of all time, Xbox, like, yeah, he said it, and he's like, and he's also about to be a Wonka. Timothy Chalamet. So it's really funny that I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot when we speak about Miyazaki, but like, if Kojima spoke English and was American, had like an American personality, he'd probably be Jeff Keighley. Except people like getting in photos with Kojima. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's in photos all the time with Timmy Chalamet.
So I'm gonna punch up that intro. What I would do is I would be like, and now like from the world of YouTube, one of my favorite YouTubers, yeah. And then I would just say his name, which is like, you know,
Tim,
you whatever his username was.
Oh yeah, he'd be
back
like
then.
Monster Boy 42.
Yeah, and then you play a clip of him with the
he's like,
the
oh,
controller
this controller is really cool, custom job.
And like 20% of the crowd's like, oh, I know what this is gonna be, and then it comes out and it's like, welcome to the stage. You know, blah, blah.
And he says, welcome to the award games. No, wait, flip it.
Scratch that.
Scratch that.
Reverse it.
Reverse it. Welcome to the Game Awards. That's how you do it. And you do a song and dance. But anyway, the bit that obviously, and this happened last year during the Game Awards. I remember the PayFam Discord was popping off and I was driving at the time. And luckily, had YouTube Premium. So, you know, you can like play videos when you're doing other stuff.
Yeah.
I have like the phone holder. And was just like playing the Game Awards because Kojima just came on and DS2 was announced.
Yep.
Which was massive. And I just assumed this year he was going to like do a follow-up in DS2.
I mean, if I was Microsoft and I'm paying for an exclusive like game from Kojima, there's no fucking way I'm letting Jeff Keighley get the clout of announcing it at the Game Awards. I'm putting that in my showcase.
Yeah, because, especially after a bad
because
year.
Because there's shit all in my fucking showcases so far.
Oh, that's
so,
the other funny thing. Starfield paid for ads during
Game Awards that they didn't get a single nomination
but in. But they were just like, this is our thank you to all the great games this year. And again, right. It's like Blood thinks they're on the team. And that was showing like, just like quotes from reviews, which I'm certain were out of context.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
Masterpiece. Ellipses masterpiece. And you're like, what does this say? Like, you know, people thought this was going to be a masterpiece. It was so funny. But finally, I guess, you know, they succumbed. Microsoft succumbed. It was like, we need Jeff Keighley to to let this happen. And Big Dick Kojima walked out. Of course.
This weird door.
Amazing door. He walked out apparently to music. Maybe this is why I watched Fury Road. He always walks out to like the same song from the Fury Road soundtrack ever since 2016.
That's so great.
The Brothers in Arms song, which is like
Brothers at that time.
Brothers
in arms.
At that Brothers at that time in arms. And he was dripped the fuck out, doing the classic Kojima, wearing like some like colorful Nikes. Jeans, a t-shirt that obviously he'll be selling soon, which is like the official logo of this game. And they came out and I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's going to be Death Stranding 2, but we got a preview for a new game. OD.
Yeah, and it's...
And the trailer started off with like Microsoft, which is a first... It's like Kojima, Microsoft. And yeah, it was very not Death Stranding and that there wasn't any like flying dolphins and like babies.
Yep.
And it's just like these, it's reminded me of like the scenes in Blade Runner 2049 when they're just like saying random sentences, like sequel, you know, and it's Hunter Schafer, actress from Euphoria, which was like awesome to see. I think also, oh no, I forget what they did, but wait, who else was in it? OD game.
You should know, haven't you watched it 4 billion
times?
No, I've
only, who is in an OD? Oh, here we go. Oh, wow. It's so funny typing it in, just getting like the Xbox landing page.
Wild.
Oh, wait.
Do we know when it's coming or it's just being worked on now?
They didn't say when it's coming. Fuck, who's
I want to know how Kojima is like divvying up his time between this and Death Stranding 2.
Yeah, I mean, he's been working on Death Stranding 2 for like, I think, far more than we think.
Jeff Stranding 2.
Jeff Stranding, fuck. I'm just anyway, it's famous. Oh, yeah, who's in it? Come on, homie. Talk for a minute.
I have not actually even watched the trailer yet.
Oh, okay. So it's just like POV. It's just like close up. Okay. No, that's Death Stranding 2. Oh, here we go. Sophia Lillis, who is in...
This is about as riveting as watching the game.
Yeah. No, Jeff has more ruse than me. Sophia Lillis, who is in like It. She's like a girl, like an actor in that. Udo Kier, who you would know.
Cool.
This guy.
My friend. My friend, you were Udo Kier.
You know this actor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. German dude. Yeah.
And it's just them like looking at the camera saying like words.
Mm-hmm.
And people today have found out they've been playing it back, and yeah, Kojima's like always puts like hidden messages in his videos. People had stuff written on their tongues, and people said it was written in like katakana or hiragana, and it was the name of a town where one of the Silent Hill games is set. So people are like, oh, is this finally PT, which was Silent Hill, which is like his horror game? Because then after that, Jordan Peele came out, who's mm-hmm. doing the game with him. But then Kojima just didn't stop there. He's like, I've put together like a team of Avengers of people who I really respect in film to help me make this. And he's like, it's not going to be just a movie. It's not going to be just a game. It's going to be a new form of media. So my guess is he's got the Rucka Rucka guys, the twins that made Talk To Me, who were there recently.
Okay.
I reckon Ari Aster. I think he's putting together like all the A24 horror bros to make this like crazy game.
Sick. Yeah,
insane. And it's just like, it's going to be so different to...
Nicholas, what's his name?
Nicholas Winding Refn, Ari Aster, Robert Eggers, just like all these people who has taken photos with him recently.
Yep.
I'm like, that's it. They're all the people. This has to be
it. And Timothy Chalamet.
And Timmy Chalamet. Dude, crazy stuff. But the fact that we're getting like two original Kojima IPs, that's insane. And the guy's like in his 60s and at like the peak of his career and power.
And well, he looks better than every single other guy that you just
who's 40 years younger than him. Yeah. It's crazy. It's good. I'm so excited. That's like the last thing I expect. And the only thing I can think it could be, it's using Microsoft's cloud technology. Like they have this like cloud system Azure, which they haven't really tapped mm-hmm. into yet, I guess, in terms of gaming. But I listened to his podcast series last year and he was like, an idea I'm exploring now. He's like, if you play a game and like the speed changes, you're running or there's more enemies or threats and you're scared, we can only have like a preordained amount of like determined amount of music on there. So the tracks might change slightly if things speed up, but it can only go so far. And he's like, I'm really interested in a game where like your experience and my experience is completely different based on our gameplay, including like the way music comes like cinematically, but it's like not stored on the disc or just on the hard drive, like it's constantly being refreshed. So I'm like, I bet it's got to do with that. And then horror would be a perfect genre to have like this live experience.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm off, but that dude, that was so exciting. That was like last thing I expected was another Kojima game.
I mean, but also like the one of the first things I expect is Jeff Keighley to say, "My friend Hideo."
It's the Kojima. Only thing I expect. Yeah, yeah.
He also announced he's got a Disney Plus documentary.
Oh, so that was a film that came out like at the New York Film Festival.
Yep.
And it was about like the creation of Death Stranding, but it is,
it's like him interviewing other filmmakers and...
Yeah, it's like the process of the game, but I guess Disney picked it up for global distribution.
Interesting.
Which rules.
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing about it debuting at New York Film Festival. I was like, fuck, I really want to see that.
Big Dick Kojima.
Dude, ever since he got being fired from Konami's like the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, he took control of the narrative and made himself the hero.
Yeah. Actually, an actor from Death Stranding was telling me a lot of stuff off the record. I won't say who they are, but it's not Mads Mikkelsen nor Norman Reedus.
Jeff Keighley.
It's Jeff Keighley. It's Conan O'Brien. Yeah. But he was telling me that he would like the idea and everything for Death Stranding. Kojima had like for years before it was announced and while he was at Konami, but he purposely didn't tell them because he knew he had a feeling he was going to get fired and he's like, they would own it all. So he like hung on to it for so long, which is why it was so like developed. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the most developed story I've ever experienced.
Death Stranding.
Yeah.
You know what? Quite similar to Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, I guess
where it's a big game,
and it's like
interpretations.
Yeah, and the narrative doesn't really matter.
Symbology, yeah. Symbology, and yeah, which I am very looking forward to diving in with you, because I've been sitting on it for like almost 3 weeks now.
I can't believe you saw Boy and the Heron with British.
Do you know? I was like
the Bean and the Heron.
Do you know? Do you know just like what an L that was? Like I assume maybe critics aren't.
No, so in it, it's not the same. Like I was listening to the Blank Check episode about it. And they said that the majority of the screenings there are in Japanese, but
yeah.
Here they're in the majority it's of the screenings are in English. Dubbed.
Yeah, I have no idea why. I honestly thought being a critic screening, I was like, well, obviously going to show it in the OG language, the way it's intended. But I don't know if like local distributors here are just like, got to show off that voice cast.
But like, you know, in America, it's like last week, Godzilla Minus One was the number one movie at the box office. And this week it's Boy and the Heron.
It's so good. It's so good. I mean, what else are they going to watch? Fucking Migration.
Well, dude, you know what's still number one in Australia?
Taylor Swift?
No.
Oppenheimer?
No, it's like, it's Hunger Games.
Oh, that's...
It's been like number one for like 4 weeks in Australia. Like,
it's such an L.
It's like one of the highest, highest grossing movies in Australia for 2023.
Why Australia?
Do you know that, you know how everywhere is, the top three movies of the year are Barbie, Mario, Oppenheimer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to know what the top three in Australia is? See if you can guess it. It's so the
Barbie.
Yep.
Mario.
Yep.
Hunger Games.
No. So the three. I feel like you won't be upset that Oppenheimer has been pipped by this movie.
Avatar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Avatar's the third highest grossing movie of...
Oh, that's so interesting. I thought they'd just count that to last year.
You know, that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is in the top 30 for some reason. I like went deep
what,
on
from this year?
Yeah, even though it came out in April last year. I don't know how.
That's so
but
strange.
It's made millions in Australia this year.
People buying it maybe on home entertainment?
Yeah. But Godzilla Minus One just surpassed $1 million in Australia.
That's crazy.
Which is cool.
Go see it if you haven't. Go see Boy and the Heron.
So, I mean, above all, to support, like, movies from other countries being shown here.
Yeah.
You know what movies go fucking hard is Indian movies.
Indian movies are crazy. Dude, if you, like I tell you, I know it definitely near you, but even near me and Leichhardt, there's, like, full billboards, like, while you're driving for, like, the latest
that
Indian movie.
That movie Animal, which I haven't seen, but I've seen it advertised everywhere, made, like, $4 million opening weekend in Australia. Like, you know, and box offices are rarely that
big. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. That's like that's sick. That's like eight times what Boy and the Heron did in its opening weekend.
That's every homie going out with the boys.
Yeah, yeah. To booking watch out it. A cinema, letting firecrackers off in their seats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Learning the dance on TikTok.
Dude, I DJ'd a year six graduation last night.
So good.
And there was like,
what were they hitting?
A table of boys. The only way they walked anywhere was gritty style.
Dude, that's
they hit the gritty.
The commitment to the gritty. Unrivaled.
I got an amazing video which I sent to Angus of them just doing the gritty
around
the
table. Dude, it looks like a cult. It was
so
like
good.
The cult of gritty.
All they did was request
Rick Astley.
Some boys requested Rick Astley, but there was a few of them in there that kept requesting fucking Fonk.
Oh yeah, Fonk track. They're huge on TikTok.
And Fonk, I was like, dude, those songs don't exist.
They're not songs.
They're real songs. Like, they're just TikTok things.
Yeah,
I couldn't get it. Yeah, someone kept writing Giga Chad Fonk as a request. I'm like, dude,
that's actually just a meme.
It's not a thing.
That's like requesting tweets or something.
Yeah.
You're like, can you do some drill tweets?
But then they started requesting Punjabi songs, and so I was able to play like Jalebi Baby goes hard. Fucking what else goes good? There's a few songs from a couple of years of doing it that I know that everyone loves. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna play Natu Natu, see what happens.
Did the boys go crazy?
They fucking went
Did they know
nuts.
It?
Yeah, and they were like, I had to play it to the end because they were having like a dance battle.
Oh, hell yeah.
All these like
Did the white guys
kids.
Win? Lose, I mean.
No, the white kids, like, there's one, I think there's like, the white kids are me and maybe two other teachers.
Yeah.
It's a wild slice of Sydney where
Hell
I live.
Hell yeah, that's sick.
but yeah, Natu Natu still goes hard.
We love Natu Natu. Hard not to.
That's true.
Did you like that?
Just quickly on musical movies. So I bought tickets for me and B to go see Beyonce's Renaissance Friday, a big date night, gold class and everything. And we've got some family troubles at the moment. And so her mum wasn't able to babysit, and we were like, oh, who else could we ask? And we're like, running through the options and it was going to be really difficult. And I was like, why don't we just take the kids? Like, the only reason it's MA is because they're swearing and we listen to the album in the car anyway.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So what the, who cares? So we took them to the 3-hour Beyonce concert movie in Gold Class. And I was just like, all right, we're going to treat it as dinner. It starts at 6:15. We're just going to go. We're going to let the kids order whatever they want. So if you want some quick reviews.
How'd you get seats next to them?
They were just, for whatever reason, it's 6:15 in the show. Beyonce's Renaissance has not been doing as well as everyone thought it would at the box office.
Is it because she's screening it in Israel?
Possibly a small
boycott. Are we being like very, very woke?
But maybe it's because Animal is taking all of the Renaissance seats away. But yeah, we were able to get 4 seats next to each other in Gold Class. And that movie is great. Like, so good. It's one of the best concert movies I've ever seen.
You haven't seen
the Eras
one, have you?
No, and I feel like I'm going to be bored out of my brains with that because there's no
backstage. The Eras is just a concert.
It's just a concert.
It's not even the concert. And it's like, it's not a whole show.
This is so, like, production focused. And, like, Archie was riveted because
that's what
it's
Homecoming
like,
was great. Remember her?
Yeah, I loved Homecoming.
Netflix one for the
Coachella performance.
I think
I like the performance itself better in Homecoming because it's very focused on the band, whereas this is a lot more dancers, which are amazing. But, like, I love all the cool interpretations she does.
Yeah, the marching band stuff was crazy.
But this is definitely the better movie. And, like, she's, like, learnt heaps from as, like, a filmmaker and as someone putting on an enormous production. And, like, she now has all of the stagehands wear reflective outfits so people know they're there, so they can appreciate the people that work and all the people that it takes to put on a show of this magnitude.
Cool.
And, like, yeah, like, it goes through, like, all the, how many different people work and what they work on and what you do in the order of which you do it. And, like, there's, like, a few, like, technical
fuck-ups.
Where's
the concert at?
It's, dude, best thing about the show, it's the whole tour, pretty much.
Oh, sure.
And so you have, like, we're watching this song and Archie leans over to me, the first song, and he's like, how does she keep changing her clothes so fast? And I'm like, oh, it's because it's actually like 4 different concerts that she performed this song at, and you're just watching different cuts of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
sure. But then they start doing it to the music. So, like, you're watching, like, you know, Who Run the World Girls, and it's like, you know, dunk, 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 dunk. Every beat, it's
changes?
Just changing outfits.
Yeah, sick.
So, like, you get like a millisecond.
Some of Michelle Gondry
different
shit.
Man, it is so inspired. It is such a fun visual feast.
Only great stuff.
Oh yeah, I'll watch it again. It's one of my favorite movies of the year, I think. Like,
wow.
And I don't even like that album very much. I do now. Like, this is all it took was a 3-hour movie about it.
Yeah.
The context of why it existed, like, to honor her uncle, and, like, yeah, really, really cool movie. And, like, yeah, Tilly fell asleep. Archie stayed awake for all of it, enjoyed the shit out of it.
That rules.
We
homie.
Ordered nachos, we ordered sliders, we ordered, you'll like this, fries 3 ways, which is a
basket. Okay, tell me about the 3 ways.
Of crinkle cut fries, sweet potato fries, and potato wedges. And then you get
I like
ketchup, sour cream, and sweet chili sauce as your sauces.
Oh, yeah, this sounds a bit...
It's like completely unnecessary, but, like, when at Gold Class, my friend.
Yeah, true.
We also got s'mores waffles, which were like waffles with like melted marshmallows.
That's kind of cool.
And chocolate.
I'd fuck with that vision.
And churros. And yeah, it was a good time, man. We spent a lot of fucking money, but it was good. And then they also came with us to see Wonka.
I'm bummed we didn't see each other.
We'll get into it in PayFam, I'm sure. But
yeah, I mean, we got 2 big movies to talk about: Wonk Man and Boy in the Wonka.
And I finally saw Napoleon too. Which,
oh yeah, you saw Napoleon.
I really liked it.
Mm.
I don't think it's like a very coherent. It's coherent. Totally coherent.
Not,
I just think it's not a very pointed movie.
No, it's just kind of like it's almost just like slices of this historical figure's life. It's not like, here is the all-encompassing biopic of this man's life from birth to death. It's just kind of like, it assumes you probably should have some knowledge of Napoleon.
Yeah.
And
but, like, yeah, you
just kind of see like a picaresque of his life, like a scene with his wife, and then maybe 4 years later it's a campaign, and then
it's, yeah,
2 years later,
one of the best shot war like battles you've ever seen in your life.
All the man, like, they were gorgeous.
The one on the ice was so...
That was unbelievable. And you're just like, this motherfucker's like 86, Ridley Scott.
Wait, and he hates French people.
He hates French people.
He's rewriting history. He's shooting cannons into pyramids.
He's so sick. He rules, man. Definitely on the shortlist for Guy of the Year.
I think that's a really good point.
What?
that he belongs on.
I think
it's a really good point. I hate French people.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he's on a very. He's definitely on a Guy of the Year shortlist, or just even like best press cycle.
The Joker was amazing in it.
He was so good.
I loved his like aloofness. Like,
I just love that like he's just Joaquin Phoenix in it.
Yeah,
but kind of just like Joaquin a bit Phoenix rude.
In a hat.
Yeah, and so good.
And then like, fucks like a crazy person.
Dude, I laughed. I saw the press screening and I had heads turning at me because I found it the funniest movie. I was laughing like every 2 minutes. It
That's amazing.
Just the way he was acting. And I'm like, it's a funny movie, right?
Yeah, it's definitely funny.
Yeah, and people were just like looking at me and I'm like, it's funny. Like he's going mum 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 and like trying to squeeze his wife's boob in front. It's like insane. While there's like four chambermaids with them, he's just like, it's absurd. It's so funny.
Yeah, cool movie.
Yeah,
like, I'm glad. I'm so glad I saw it.
I'm just glad that it exists. And you're just like, oh, this is Ridley Scott at 86, just making.
Yeah,
this
and
movie.
I'll watch that 4-hour cut.
Same. Oh, dude, I can't wait. It would probably make it more, I guess, like a.
I think so too.
Traditional biopic,
because I think like scenes would just kind of end as opposed to like, flowing into each other. I loved the final scene, like him at the table writing his memoirs.
Dude, one of the fucking coolest endings to a movie in a long time. Just like with the two girls that I just love that he kept getting exiled. That was his only punishment. Like you have to go to an island that's kind of cool and you chill all day. And he's like, I love France. And when he came out of the water, just like kisses the sand. You're like, this guy's such a loser. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I found it like really funny.
Really, really funny.
Oh man, that opening scene. That opening battle where the horse gets a cannonball.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. He's like, give this to mother.
Yes, totally. Like,
this guy is insane. Man, I loved it.
My man trying to marry a 15-year-old.
Just crazy as hell. He's so funny.
Yep.
Just when she shows her like her vagina to him and he's like peeking out the corner of his eyes. It's going to be a mad gif.
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby was great in it too.
Yeah, I thought they were great. So toxic. You know, it reminded me of like Phantom Thread a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like this couple who were like so like bad for each other, but just have some connection. And he's down bad the whole time. While he's getting cucked constantly by her.
I wish Phantom Thread had a wacky sex scene.
Yeah.
That's one thing it was missing.
That sex scene is like one of the like my favorite moments in cinema. And I saw it on IMAX.
Just the sound of it.
And he's just moving like they're fully clothed.
No one's enjoying it.
It's so good. And just like quiet scene beforehand and then into smash cut to that. Destiny brought me this lamb chop.
Oh man. And the other one when he's like crawling towards her underneath the table. So horny. I love it.
Dude, it was sick. I was so on board. I liked how messy it was. I was like, this is insane that this is a movie right now.
Yeah, so sick.
It's insane that Apple has paid for this in a Scorsese film this year. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, like, it's so cool that 84-year-old. 86-year-old?
86-year-old.
86-year-old was like, I'm going to make the horniest war epic ever made.
And no one's going to speak in a French accent.
Yeah, totally.
Everyone's just going to like chill.
It's like the bad guys have British accents.
Yeah.
Until they ally with the good guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the French guys have American accents.
It rules, man. It's so sick. He wasn't there to see Marie Antoinette get her head cut off. That was sick. That scene was crazy when they like lift up the head.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was 15, I'd love that movie even more.
Definitely. I think that's how you fuck.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's how you fuck. That's how you kill. Yeah, the simp France.
That's how food gum comes to you from through Destiny.
Through Destiny.
I can't wait to get exiled twice.
What a loser. He just kept getting. And I love like just, man, just like the rules of war back then where like you'd go to your enemy's tent afterwards and be like, okay, let's discuss the outcome and I'll go to exile. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
They're feeding him like a nice breakfast. Like, man, we used to be a real country. Crazy as hell, my brother.
It was crazy seeing fuck, who played the Duke at the end of the movie?
The British guy.
Was his name something Everett? Hugo.
Oh, Everett? Yeah.
Hugh Everett. Yeah. He was like the good looking gay dude in My Best Friend's Wedding, and now he's like a big old British guy.
He was awesome in it. Yeah, he was fantastic. He was great.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy movie. Go see it at the cinemas if you can. Like, I feel like it's one that is better when you see it in a cinema because you'll be way less likely to pick up your phone or you know, pause it to go take a piss.
Hundo.
Boy and the Heron. Saw that yesterday.
What circumstances? Which cinema? Which time?
Parramatta Cinema.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, you smell that tree. It smells so good.
Your Christmas tree smells beautiful. Yeah. 12:45 in the middle. It's a little bit later.
Have you noticed the new one at the top?
The Morpheus. Angus has an official Hallmark Morpheus.
Can you describe Christmas what ornament. Morpheus is doing in it? It's not just Morpheus he's
offering,
standing there.
He's offering you.
No, you got to see. He's sitting in the fucking big chair.
He's sitting on his throne and he's offering you two pills, one in each hand.
What color are they?
I believe it's purple and turquoise.
Oh, you're so right. It's blue and red. It's got his shades on. It's fucking crazy that this exists.
What if they Christmified it and it was like a white...
Like a candy cane.
Green and red.
A Christmas pudding or something or the other. Yeah. Fuck, it's wild. I love it.
What if it was Morpheus as Vanessa Kirby's character in Napoleon?
And so he's holding his dick.
Looking, he's got his pussy open.
He's got his dick out. His Morpheus dick. It's mad as hell.
Morpheus.
This tree is insane.
Yeah, it's a great, great vibe. Your fucking incel Christmas tree.
Oh, and Natalie Portman, can you see her on the right?
Dude, I had a great idea for a merch for Hey Fam.
Yeah.
The Nike symbol, and instead of the Nike, it's saying Nike. It just says incel.
Oh hell yeah! Would sell so many to people that have no idea what this podcast is. Can you see Natalie Portman on the right in the Attack of the Clones white outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey Fam has sold that to me. He DM'd me on Discord. He's like, I'm selling all my hallmarks. It's like, brother. Send this one to me.
To give me all the babes.
Yeah, yeah. Got Nytiri, Jasmine, and Natalie Portman, the three hot men.
Hot what?
Hot men. I was like three wise men.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome. That shit's crazy. I look at that tree and I'm like, that's my Sergeant Pepper cover.
I don't think anyone in my cinema liked The Boy and the Heron.
How many people were there?
Like half full cinema, 12:45.
I was at a full cinema.
Yep.
I was in the minority on race.
And me too. It was just like DJing at the year 6 graduation last night. Only white dude in the cinema.
Yeah, yeah. I was one of the only white people. In fact, yeah, one of the only. Other than that, it was me and then guys like 2 feet taller than me and maybe 80 kilograms heavier with like long hair, balding, like the traditional anime looking.
Yeah.
Custodian from like the 90s.
So that was the only other white guy.
A few other guys amazing. Like that. And I was like,
I know it smells crazy.
And I'm like, fuck, I'm so cool right now. Yeah. I was like, before those guys walked in, I was heaps uncool, but now I'm in the middle. And I think it was I saw it in like near my work, so like Haymarket, and predominantly like Asian, probably Japanese.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be fucking presumptuous, audience. Pretty full. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. because it was 42 degrees Celsius.
Fuck, man. And it's going to be 39 tomorrow.
It's 40, apparently.
God damn it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hot summer.
Yeah, people are going to die. Like, it's going to be crazy.
You said people going to die?
Mr. Tinkin? Is it going to die? So you saw it. What did you know about this film before going
in? Fuck all.
So you just knew the kind of...
I knew that, like...
poster was released.
I knew that there was a heron in it.
And a boy.
And I knew every now and then on Twitter, someone would be like, I loved this weird little guy from... Boy and the Heron.
Just post a random character.
And yeah, it would be like a bird, and I'd be like, "Fucking sign me up!"
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool birds in this movie.
Weird parakeet, like cool pelican.
Yeah, let's go.
Fucking zany shit.
I just knew that this was like maybe Miyazaki's last movie. That's it. I knew that like Bobby Patterson plays like a unhinged version. Of like his voice is like, you know,
it sounds like the Japanese actor.
He really went for it.
Yeah, he kind of, I guess, yeah, he like almost aims to mirror it. It's not like he's like, I remember like you know, watching Howl's dubbed, as I said on the pod when I was in America, because I was jet lagged and just needed somewhere to go before my hotel had like check me in, and just hearing like Billy Crystal's do the voice, and I was just like, oh, you're just doing Billy Crystal's, like you're the Howl that I know, like the Calcifer that I know. And it was, yeah, it was cool to hear R-Pats just be like, I'm gonna honor the text almost. That's sick.
I read like an article like that he sent like voicemails of him doing the voice,
that's
and like
was so, like, sick.
So ready, and yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. R-Pats is fucking just one of the coolest guys, right?
It's mad that he got to be, you know, I feel like if you're a Hollywood actor, you want to be involved in this movie.
I mean, Christian Bale's double dipping, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. What's the policy on double dipping?
Willem Dafoe too, right? I'm sure he's been a voice in other
movies. I'm sure he has been, yeah.
But I do want to see the dub version, but I also want to see the sub version a second time first.
Yeah.
Like, this movie finished and I was like, that was so sick. I cannot wait to see it again so I can like watch it with my interpretation that I know is probably not correct.
Yeah. And like, I think like, you know, this is not a Totoro or a Kiki's or God, even a Spirited Away, where there's a pretty Spirited Away less so, but at least with like Kiki in particular, which is, I'd say probably like his most straightforward Ghibli film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lupin was pre Ghibli and stuff, but oh, Ponyo as well. But it is, this is such an, I didn't want to say much before you saw it, but I think I just said to you, like, this is like a bit of a like fever dream greatest hits, but a really abstract version of it.
Yeah, I think this is, it's almost feels like him taking a run at a few, like you can definitely see themes from like Howl, Spirited Away,
Totoro, even with like the Warawara and like these the forest sprites in Mononoke, you know what I mean, like with the
Mononoke,
like,
for sure,
cute little things, yeah, that are, but also like the ecosystem of the exactly, world where yeah, they're like, oh, these things eat those and that's what keeps us going. But it was like, it feels like, and maybe it isn't his last film and we don't really know because fucking you can't trust the guy, but
I hope it isn't.
It feels like, but it does feel like the perfect final film, like yeah, what no, Donda should have yeah, been. Yeah. It feels like when David Bowie released Black Star, where he knew that he was dying, but no one did at the time. And the whole record's about that. It's like mm-hmm, a farewell. It's like going out on his own
terms.
My
favorite part of this movie was when Miyazaki came on the stage and said, you're the king, Burger King.
And he said, one in the boy, one in the heron. But yeah, this reminds me of like, it's about the end. You know what I mean?
Well, it's about your legacy. Right?
And I have been, and look, we'll stop him and jump into PayFam. I have been wrestling so much this year. Something I haven't like spoken about it with you, with my legacy. Because I don't have a child. I don't have a family. I don't even have a, like, you know, it's just me.
Sure.
And it's been, like, really worrying me.
Yeah, right.
It's really, I'm like, one of my parents, unless they're in an accident together, one will die before the other. And then I'll probably be the sole person looking after them or being with them. And I've been, like, having, like, a fucking midlife crisis about, like, what the hell my life is. And I have like no legacy or like no. Yeah. And it's just like, it's been like waves, and it started like halfway this year when, a traumatic thing happened to me in my life and this year. And yeah, I've been thinking about legacy nonstop. So this movie like spoke to me so hard. Cause I'm like, then when my parents both die, cause it's just me and my parents, no siblings, I'm like, if I don't have like offspring, which looks like I'm not, who remembers me? Like, what am I? And it's like been doing my head in. I'm like, what meaningful connections am I going to make in life? Who is meaningful with me? What's wrong with me? And this has been like something that has been crazy on my mind. And I've been,
Movie make you feel better or worse about it?
It just made me feel better in the sense where it was like, oh, okay. So I'm not alone.
Sure.
Like no one knows. And it's maybe the world is just chaos. And
well,
legacy,
I saw this as like him being like, fuck my legacy.
Yeah, I mean, especially
it's not important.
The blocks.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's this is why I kind of felt better. I was like, oh, it's not about legacy. There's this strange importance placed on you must do this with your life, or you must like work towards something that you won't even get to enjoy because you'll
yeah,
be gone.
I mean, like, I got two kids, man, and at no point do I ever think about them carrying on whatever bullshit yeah, I do now.
And see, like, I think that's why like it's good to have kids, because you probably then that becomes your train of thought.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
with me, I'm like, there's pressure from society, there's pressure from family, there's pressure from everyone, not everyone, but there's a lot of pressures out there, and the whole world, especially in a Western world, it's designed for like a family, you know, from like serving sizes of ingredients you buy to like loaves of bread to like the amount of milk you purchase and everything. Like these things have like spans that are to suit a family generally.
Sure.
And I'm like, the world is like, you know, rent, living alone, I don't know, buying a place, like this is something you split with people. I mean, like it's been doing my head in a lot, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do, blah blah blah. So this film really really felt poignant timing for myself, when it seems to be about, and you know, there are interviews out there with Suzuhara speaking about,
which what, is someone, one of the animators,
the producer of Ghibli, like he right, produces all the films. He's in the docos, the one with the glasses, and is always like the announcements of Miyazaki.
He's the one that, who's a cat and a bus.
No.
That
was not great. he's like, here are some things that it could be about. But I think the best thing about this film, and we'll dive into it on PayFam, is how open it is for interpretation. And it's just it feels like a free thought exercise almost. Like it makes Spirited Away, which is a fucking perfect, brilliant film. This isn't a takeaway. It makes Spirited Away feel like super, super easy to grasp and comprehend.
I feel like every Ghibli movie has that moment. Every one of Miyazaki's movies has that moment where you're like, I think I know how this is going to end. And then it does not.
Boy, are you wrong.
Does not do anything. No. And at some point, I mean, I know sometimes you could maybe see that as being unsatisfying. Like, hey, they didn't have a one final battle and the good guy didn't beat the bad guy.
Well, the classic trope with Miyazaki films, particularly in the Ghibli canon, and not like, other filmmakers in it do it, but particularly his, the person who you're like, you're told from the start is, with your Western mind, like, oh, this is the villain. They always end up being like a friend by the end of the film, or like
someone that
views them through necessary. A different lens. You're like, there's almost like a sense of pity, or you're like, oh, I understand why this person thinks like that now.
Sure.
And Japan has like very different act structure. You know, Western world has like three acts. Japan, I know, like Kabuki has like a certain amount of acts. Like it's so inherent. Like I even remember.
Shonen manga has 4 million.
Shonen has, 10,000 and counting.
Yeah.
Some of it's, fights sometimes last for 30 of them, the 30 acts.
Some mahjong battles for even longer.
It's crazy. It's crazy in there. But yeah, it's, it just feels like the closest thing to like his most personal work, I'd say.
So the only movie of his I haven't seen is The Wind Rises.
Oh, what?
I need it's your reaction every time.
Yeah, it's like that's just crazy to me.
Yeah,
I think but then again, I thought you'd seen The Prestige, so I'm going to really start. Right, fucking...
I'll write these wrong soon.
I'm going to be checking myself.
I feel like it's like, I've generally watched the Ghibli movies with my partner or my kids, and I'm. It's like, should we watch the one without any cute animals in it? I feel like it's never like a...
Yeah, should we watch the one the man who designs planes that kill people and him wrestling with, his legacy?
Yep.
Should we do one of the legacy wrestling ones, honey? No, Angus has our copy.
Right. Let's watch one of the ones about raccoons or something.
Yeah. Let's watch ones with the big bald raccoons.
let's put a very momentarily small knot in this conversation and reform our thoughts in an episode of PayFam, another award-winning every episode of PayFam.
Much wins. Like Miyazaki's return to the pen and paper.
We actually won a game award.
Returning to the mic.
We won best strategy game, PayFam.
Yeah.
Which you can hear at patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month is all it costs to get an extra episode of Hey Fam every single week. And tonight, it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be about Wonka, who is the boy.
Maybe Wonka. We might even spend more time on the heron. And
Wonka.
Wonka's not out for a few weeks, I think. So we can even delay that because we'll probably need something to talk about next
I want to talk about like the actual, like the screening and like...
Let's talk about that. But I reckon...
Look, we're going to talk about
Wonka.
Let's
not be too generous. I think we should spread some content out.
Boy and the heron and...
we probably got,
But you're going to wrestle with yourself for majority of this episode.
Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it twice. I've seen multilingual version.
Yeah, watch it in French next, I reckon.
I'm going to put that heat on. This is fucking crazy.
Yeah, put the heat on. Put the fucking cool the on, brother. Right. Patreon.com/heyfam. Every dollar this month is going to go towards Angus's electricity bill because he's been pumping this AC. It's hot as a motherfucker in Sydney right now.
Legacy is AC, Bill.
No, you can't spell legacy without AC.
Oh, that feels so good. Is it too loud or no?
Who gives a shit? Patreon.com/heyfam. Come and join us. You also get to join our Discord. We've got channels for Boy and the Heron. Have you got one for Napoleon?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
We got one for... we'll have one for Wonka for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think every channel.
You might just start a Discord for Wonka.
Every channel is going to be a Wonka channel.
Another $5 you can pay to be in our Wonka Discord.
Yeah, perfect. Come and join us over at patreon.com.
So I got a lot to say about Wonka.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait.
I honestly really liked Wonka.
Crazy.
What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah,
was
same. Like, I was like, perfect kids movie.
Like surprisingly confident.
Yeah.
Like in its like silliness.
Still insane that it exists.
Yeah.
And there's a prequel about.
Like justified its existence.
I think so.
Well, we don't need to talk about it anymore.
No, we won't.
You don't even need to listen. Nice.
Wait, have you used the toothpaste yet?
I didn't get toothpaste. Brother. That's why I want to talk about the fucking
brother, I'm in Brushin.
Yeah, all right. Come join us over at PayFam. See you very soon.
Bye.
Wow, another absolutely perfect episode. Now it's time to do what I do every week. Listen to this episode 140 times. Somebody tell Ms. Marvel to order me another pizza. Yo, I haven't had a slice of that sweet, sweet za in like 7 minutes. Your girl is dying over here. Peace.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.